Hey, welcome back to English History Fact and Fiction, episode the 175th, and a thank you to Heidi Corley for sending me a ditty about our glorious English monarchs. Here's how it goes, if my tongue doesn't trip over an Edward or a Henry. Okay. Willie, Willie, Harry, Steve, Harry, Dick, John, Harry, 3, Edward, 1, 2, 3, Dick, 2, Henry, 4, 5, 6, then who? Edward, 4, 5, Dick the Bad, Harry's Twain and Ned the Lad, Mary, Lizzie, James the Bane, Charlie, Charlie, James again, William and Mary, Anne O'Gloria, 4 Georges, William and Victoria, Edward, 7, Georgie, 5, Edward, George and Liz, alive. Nicely done, whoever. But the question I put to Heidi was, who was missing from that list? And just in time, she came up with the name for this week's episode, Lady Jane Grey, for 10 bonus points, which Heidi can spend in our gift shop that exists only in our collective imagination, where 10 points can get you a silly hat with enough left over for a missing stone at Scone. Haven't gone through all that. Lady Jane Grey doesn't actually get much of a mention in the episode, but let's get on with it.
My sweet Lady Jane, when I see you again, your servant am I, and will humbly remain. Just heed this plea, my love.
Mighty Lemon Drops covering the Rolling Stones song Lady Jane. Last week was me just going on and on with a whole heap of crap just to get both Ted Seymour and King Edward VI dead. The big hairy deal was Teen King Ted's succession document that has cut ladies, formerly Princesses Mary and Baby Betty, out. And unless either Francis Brandon or Lady Jane Grey could get up the spout and pop out a baby boy in about 2 days, then the heir to the big chair will be Lady Jane Grey. While it was all busy, busy, busy with the dying king, there was other business to attend to, one of which was keeping it secret that our teen king was dying. We've got a bit of an alliance going with the Frenchies, which is great for stopping Super Sausage Chuck from sending in troops to help Lady formerly Princess Mary say her prayers the right way, but that alliance is fragile and dependent upon Teen King Ted marrying Frenchy Princess Betty, and Frenchy Princess Betty would probably say no to marrying a corpse. We're in luck, though, because King Henri wouldn't mind some English troops to help him take the biff to Chuck. Frenchy ambassadors will turn up to chat with Dudley to get a bit of a draft deal happening. Now, London was on lockdown. We all know it can be turmoil when a king dies or you get COVID-19, and particularly when there's some doubt about the succession. Nobles are told to turn up in London. It's good to know where everyone is, particularly those noble types. We want to know where they are. Extra guards will be put on for all those prisoners we've got in the Tower. 20 warships will suddenly turn up in the Thames, and Frenchy ambassador will say, "Hey, is something going on?" "Yeah, nah," says Dudley, "nah. Just about to send them to the Spice Girl Islands for some cinnamons. Hard to make a nice cinnamon bun without cinnamon." Night watches of the city will double. Gate opening times will be restricted. We all know something's going on. Eventually, we have to tell the ambassadors that Teen Ted is not long for the world. His body no longer performs its functions. His nails and hair are dropping out, and all of his person is scabby. A common smelly type will actually say Ted is dead, and so will be tied by an iron collar around his neck and whipped. Oh, it's so harsh, isn't it? Frenchy ambassador will tell Dudley that the Frenchies will be totally on board with Lady Jane Grey for the big chair if he'll just sign a nice declaration of war on Super Sausage Chuck. No thanks, says Dudley. We've got everything wrapped up nice and tight to stop Mary getting on the big chair, and I have the council 110% behind me. Yeah. Well, hang on there, Dudders, says the ambassador. What about if King Henri fancied your bum for the big chair? Dudley will all be, oh, I couldn't possibly. I'm unworthy, not even good enough to think of it. Internationally, we've now all decided Teddy's dead, even though he's not quite yet, but yeah, why wait for the actual deed? Sir Philip Holby, who is in the Imperial Court as ambassador, will get a letter from William Cecil saying, it's all going to hell. Hobie will reply that God has surely turned his face from us, letting Teen Ted die. Worse, Super Sausage Chuck has sent three guys to act as counsellors for Mary, who will surely be next on the big chair. If we're going to be ruled by these three assholes, then it will all be woe, 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 utter ruin and destruction, worse than Sodom and Gomorrah. Oh God, be merciful to us and deliver us from such plagues as German advisers. Hobie will get a letter back signed by a whopping 22 council members. God has delivered us and the Teen King is alive and surely will recover fully any day now. Yeah, the last thing we want is for Chuck to be involved in the succession, so we're sending a message that Teen Ted is actually super fit. Chuck, though, will certainly be sending that delegation to tell the council, hey, council, greetings from Chuck, who just loves you guys and loves England and just wants you to remember how much you hate the Frenchies. And fair enough, everybody hates the Frenchies. Chuck loves the English, so he thinks Mary should marry one. She should actually marry an Englishman. And as for all that religion stuff, Chuck's into live and let live, so how about we have a nice policy that so long as you're into the baby Jesus, then hey, it's all good. Catholic, Protestant, what's in a name? Would a rose by any other name smell as sweet? Thanks for coming, guys, say the council. English will decide the succession and marriage, but your input was most welcome. Now fuck off. Teen Ted's still dying, and oh my giddy aunt. A baby or perhaps two babies are born joined at the waist. Both girls. It's a plain and very clear for once message from God. England will be ruled by two girls. Time for the council to start a propaganda regime. Ladies, formerly Princesses Mary and Elizabeth, will be omitted from the service at St. Paul's. Preacher will remind everybody that those girls are bastards, and the mob aren't happy to hear that. They don't want to hear that about their princesses. Mary can read the clues as to what's going on and will say, hey, council, I'm dying too. So I just need to nick up the road to Hunston to see my top doctor. But is she going there, I ask you? No, she's off to Cambridgeshire and away from Dudley and the council. And I got us back to Teen Ted's last day on planet Earth, 6th of July, 1553. Time for a prayer. Lord God, deliver me out of this miserable and wretched life and take me among thy chosen. Howbeit, not my will, but thy will be done. Lord, I commit my spirit to thee. O Lord, thou knowest how happy it were for me to be with thee, yet for thy chosen sake, send me life and health that I may truly serve thee. O Lord God, bless thy people and save thine inheritance. O Lord God, save thy chosen people of England. O my Lord God, defend this realm from papistry and maintain thy true religion, that I and my people may praise thy holy name for thy Son, Jesus Christ's sake. Yeah, might as well say that to a turnip. Bit of a mixed message though there to God. Happy to go to heaven, but England needs me, so if you could make me better, that would be great. Shortly after its absolute final words, I am faint, Lord have mercy on me, and take my spirit. That's it, he's dead. Who the fuck knows what killed our teen king? Nobody, that's who, really. Let's remember that he'd had the double trouble of smallpox and measles, and now we know it's a lung problem, so tend to go for tuberculosis. Now, if you could pop into a TARDIS, my dearest listener, and pop back to when Ted was a bit younger, you could give him a couple of vaccinations and one inoculation, and he wouldn't have got smallpox, measles, or tuberculosis. No, wouldn't have got any of them. But tuberculosis was pretty easy to catch back in the day. And, well, it'd be easy to catch now if you weren't inoculated and we hadn't sort of killed it out of the country. Humans did develop a little bit of natural immunity. Trouble was that immunity was knocked out if you got the measles. But it could also have been bronchopneumonia, which kind of puts big, pussy, crappy sores on your lungs. Ugh. And also leads to septicemia, which will give you that swelling in the legs, a loosening of your nails, and a change in skin colour. There was a thing on TV last night, where I am in space-time, about some poor guy in Australia who got it, and it really did a number on his arms and legs. They had to amputate his arms and legs, poor bugger. But he's bouncing back, looking to be as happy as he can, which is what you need to do, isn't it? That's what we all should do. Just look to be as happy as you can. And then that septicemia can hit you with kidney failure. In short, Teen Ted was fucked, but we'll never know for sure what killed him. For our less sciencey types back then, it was easy peasy. It was poison. And who would want to poison Teen Ted? Perhaps the guy whose son just married Ted's named heir. Now, who would that guy be? Oh, John Dudley. Let's have a diary entry from one of the councillors. The noble King Edward VI was poisoned, as everybody says. Oh, is that a Donald Trump, everybody says? Where now, thank be to God, there be many of the false traitors brought to their end, and I trust in God that more shall follow as they be spied out. And another letter from a council member about Dudley. That monster of a man had the king poisoned. His hair and nails fell off before his death, so that handsome as he was, he entirely lost his good looks. The perpetrators of the murder were ashamed of allowing the body of the deceased king to lie in state and be seen by the public, as is usual. Wherefore they buried him privately in a paddock adjoining the palace and substituted in his place to be seen by the people a youth not very unlike him whom they had murdered. Yeah, see, it's not just Republicans in the 2020 election where people can go a bit nuts and come up with conspiracy bullshit. But the word is out, although the Democrats will be saying it's the papists that done it because they didn't like Ted's religion. And of course that one will be blown up to say Dudley did it to frame Mary. And we all remember that the day Teen Ted got crook was the day Mary came to visit him. And who was it who wanted Mary to visit that very day? I'll tell you who it was. It was Dudley. The controversy over what killed Teen Ted will actually go on for about 20 years. So let you and I try to get out of it and say we'll never know. Internationally, it's all boo-hoo-hooing, and God was punishing the Poms for something or other. This king to others was a lamp of light, whose fame of right must want an ending day. A foe to none, a friend to every wight. Well, maybe he wasn't a friend to his uncles there, but a friend to every wight. The sky did gape to catch his soul for prey. For age he might deserve a riper death. Death calls the best and leaves the worst to men. Yeah, I think that part was trying to say only the good die young. Now people can be arrested for saying Teen King is actually still alive. Oh, fuck, you get arrested if you say he's dead when he's alive, and you get arrested if you say he's alive when he's dead. You can't win. Then, of course, there'll be two or three teenagers wandering around the place saying, oh, actually, I'm Teen King Ted. Yeah, that's me. They are. The council will only be able to manage one day of secrecy before the word's out that Teen Ted is dead. Preparations will be made at the tower for the arrival of Lady Jane Grey to score the silly hat. The ceremony is down for 4 days' time. We've got warships in the Thames, we've got plenty of troops on hand, and everything is going according to plan. Dudley sent out his lad, Lord Robert Dudley, with some hard men to bring the lady, formerly Princess Mary, into custody. Yeah, she's up the road as a doctor. We know where she is. Lord Robert has failed to listen to this podcast, so yeah, he does think she's at Hunston. But we know she's in Cambridgeshire. Urgent messages go out all over the place to the justices. Get Mary in handcuffs and into the back of a police van. And just to show we don't know everything, Mary isn't in Cambridgeshire at all. She's actually moved on to Norfolk, see, so we kind of do know. I don't know what I'm talking about. She's moved to Norfolk to get right away from Dudley. She'll get the news that her baby half-brother is dead. Off she goes to a palace at Kenning Hall. It's time for the big speech to her household to let them know that Teen Ted's dead and God wants her bum on the big chair and you guys might need to give me a hand there. God save Mary, the Queen of England, we all yell out. Mary now needs some more supporters. She's actually doing well. She's spotted that Dudley is her enemy and he'd been trying to hide that recently, giving her a castle and a park at Framingham in May. Then in June he gave her a diamond and a pearl pendant and then, oh yes, her full arms as Princess of England. So I guess at this moment we should be calling her Princess Mary rather than Lady formerly Princess thing. Princess Mary actually had been sucked in by Dudley with all those nice presents. It was her man Rochester who stopped her running away to Chuck. Rochester spotted the ruse. And he wasn't the only guy in the household to tweak to it, so he said, hey Mary, pretend you're good buddies with Dudley so he thinks that he will know exactly where you are whenever he wants to come and find you. By now, Mary also has the Imperial Ambassadors with her, giving her the sound advice to not call herself Queen of England until she's given Ted's corpse a good poke just to make sure he's totally dead. If it turns out he's not dead, then calling herself Queen would be treason. But it does seem that the decision to challenge for the silly hat was hers alone. She may have the Imperial Ambassadors with her, but other Imperial types in England have gone into hiding. They're writing to Chuck saying, hey, look, this chick has no chance because religion. Besides, Dudley has the entire fucking army. Why worry about England? The English are all just barbarians anyway. Back in London, very few people are in the know. 8th of July and the Lord Mayor and dignitaries will be brought in and told that Ted's dead and shown a document they all sign saying they'll support Lady Jane Grey as Queen. Sure, they say. Okay, now just remember it's all top secret and tell nobody nothing. Yeah, double negative there. Well done me on a fail in my English exam. 3 p.m, 10th of July, and in comes Jane from Richmond to the Tower, and on goes the silly hat. Yeah, not much of a ceremony then, but welcome to the show, Queen Jane, one of England. And that's why she should have been in that list, because she actually was a Queen of England. Off she goes on a barge down the Thames. We've got a description. She has small features, a well-made nose, the mouth flexible and the lips red. The eyebrows are arched and darker than her hair, which is nearly red. Her eyes are sparkling and reddish-brown in colour. I stood so near Her Grace that I noticed her colour was good but freckled. When she smiled, she showed her teeth, which are white and sharp. Jane wore a dress of green velvet with long sleeves embroidered with gold. Beside her, dressed in white and gold, her husband Guildford Dudley doted on her with much attention. His height stood in stark contrast to her own tiny frame. To compensate, she walked on stilts hidden beneath her dress. There you go. Jane's mum, Frances Brandon, will carry the train. Then it's the ladies and some dignitaries. Some guns go bang and that's it. 7 p.m, out go the heralds around London and say, we've got a new queen, Jane Grey. What? Says everyone. Who the fuck's this Jane Grey? And we're all having a little boo-hoo-hoo in our hankies. Some dickwit will yell to the mob, are you just going to take this? Yeah. As his ears get sliced off, the mob think, yeah, I suppose we are going to take it. Next day, though, and there are some pamphlets saying how brave he was for sacrificing his ears for our darling Princess Mary, and we should all rise up. Shit advice, hang on to your ears, my dear common types. Who cares which bum's on the big chair? Won't change your lives. 11th of July, and the council will receive a letter from Princess Mary. Sorry to hear that Ted's dead, but as for that silly hat, that's mine, you fuckers. It's in both an Act of Parliament and my dear old dad's will. You know it, and everyone in England knows it. It wasn't a fucking secret, and there is obviously tons of written evidence. Now hear this, I'm Queen of England, and I will be announcing it as publicly as I can. I find it a bit odd that you mob weren't the ones to tell me that Ted's dead. I'll give you the benefit of the doubt, but don't take me for a fool, because I know exactly what's been going on behind my back. We are not ignorant of your consultations to undo the provisions made for our preferment, nor the great bans and provisions forcible, wherewith ye be assembled and prepared, by whom and to what end God and you know, and nature cannot but fear some evil. Now you can all have a pardon, and I don't want any bloodshed or a stupid civil war. You mob just need to see reason. Just remember though, I've claimed the crown, and I'm happy to use my true subjects to force the issue. God is on my team, so you better get on it too. Okay, the council have been told. Different message went to the Imperial Ambassadors. Without Chuck's help, I think I might be done. Oddly enough, that very same day, the Ambassadors had got a letter from Chuck. Yeah, can't spare any help for Mary. Sorry. Now, the council were astonished by Mary's letter. I don't fucking know why they were astonished. Maybe they're thick. Dudley's missus and Francis Brandon will be all boo-hoo-hoo, while Dudley tells the messenger, sorry that you copped this shit job, mate. Now go along quietly with these gentlemen to the slammer. The council's reply will be, we refute your supposed title, which you judge you have. Jane is our sovereign lady queen, and our duty and allegiance is to her and none other. You are a bastard, and there's a ton of acts of Parliament saying just that, and they remain in force. You should cease to vex and molest the Queen's subjects from their true faith and allegiance, wherein you may otherwise grievous unto us, to yourself and to them. Dudley will also send out letters to the justices, saying they need to assist us in our rightful possession of this kingdom, and to extirp, that's an old word, means to dig up, to extirp, disturb, repel and resist the tainted and untrue claim of Lady Mary. Now, Dudley wrote that himself because William Cecil, who should have written it, he's a secretary, but he refused. He said, no, fuck, I'm not writing that. That will be Cecil's last day on the council, and then he wrote, ex misero orlico factus liber et majoris. Yeah, I shouldn't have done that today. It's not a Latin sort of day for me. How about this? I was freed from this miserable court. There you go. That was easier. Yeah, William Cecil's not happy at all in the service of Dudley. Okay, time for Lady Jane Grey's dear old dad. Well, he's not a dear old dad. He's a bit of a prick, isn't he? Henry Grey, Duke of Suffolk, will head up to Norfolk to arrest Mary. But Lady Jane Grey, who seems to be a girl who just wants to sit in a library, is finding it all too much, and she'll now be boo-hoo-hooing. Her mum, Frances Brandon, will tell Henry Grey to pretend he's sick. And down he goes, pretending to faint, and say, I've come over all giddy-like. Dudley will have to go. Next day, and he'll get some hard men and cannon and so on, and then go for dinner with the council. It's words about remain loyal to Jane. We don't want this papist bullshit back. And if you're thinking about a double cross, then remember that God will fuck you right up. So stay true and abandon all malice, envy and private affections. One counsellor will say, what the fuck, dude? We all signed off on this thing, so we're all in it, up to our eyeballs alongside you. So stop the stupid talk, because your doubt is too far cast. I pray God it may be so, says Dudley. So next day, he's off with 600 hard men and some serious military hardware. Off they go through London, and the mob will stay away. Now that's not right, because the mob are supposed to be out to cheer our brave lads on. In Europe, our ambassadors have been congratulated for choosing wisely in Queen Jane and the King Guildford department. And yes, Guildford Dudley is king, He doesn't get listed in the ditty about monarchs because technically he's the king consort. It's this weird situation that we've had. Jane is Queen of England and ruler, and Guildford is king consort, so not a ruler, but Jane has to obey her husband. Yeah, it's weird, but let's not get bogged down. There may not be much chance to see this in action in this particular case. In rural England, it's either puzzlement or confusion with the announcement of Queen Jane Grey. Nobody's ringing bells and cheering and booze and lots of babies born 9 months later. That's not happening. Some towns think it must be a clerical error and say, we've got a new queen. It says Jane, but it's got to be Mary. In some towns, the nobles will be out with the announcement saying, look, I'm ordered to tell you we've got a new Queen Jane, but I'm not that happy about this. In London, we've had a couple of days to get used to the idea, and the city will always bounce back to normal pretty darn fast. That's what cities do, they bounce back. The city is collecting contributions for the usual gift to the new monarch, but we're still suspicious. The guild's advice to their members is, look, just stay out of it, don't meddle with the Queen's affairs, could be tricky. And an extra watch is ordered out to keep an eye on any arms leaving the city. We do have a record of one Richard Troughton, a bailiff in South Witham, Lincolnshire. He'll say he'll take anyone on to defend Mary. The same day that Dudley set out, Troughton set out too, and he starts off with some good news. The town of Bury said, yeah, okay, we're with you, we'll proclaim for Queen Mary. He'll keep on going, talking to local dignitaries, and there are towns that just aren't proclaiming for either Jane or Mary. Troughton is telling everyone that John Dudley's dad would certainly have murdered the young Henry VIII if eight hadn't done Dudley first, and that our Dudley, John Dudley, surely poisoned Teen King Ted. It makes sense because Dudley's son, Guildford, is now the king, and by the way, 100,000 men will rise for Mary to give her a right, or it will be the bloodiest day in England ever. Now Dudley will make his way to Cambridgeshire, where his son with 500 guys are waiting. On to where, and in where, Mary will be proclaimed a bastard. And then to Swanton Hall, but yeah, they were 3 days late. Mary had scarped 3 days earlier. Swanton Hall will be destroyed just for fun, and the locals say, oh, what the fuck, dude? Dudley's very low opinion polls will drop further. In they go to Cambridge, and a nice sermon that with Dudley in the front row says, you should obey our new Queen Jane. Now Mary is currently outsmarting Dudley. Can she do better? Sure can. Her council have been sending messages everywhere. Hey, why not join Team Mary? In comes Henry Radcliffe. Now he didn't just join Team Mary, he's been captured. He's the son of the Earl of Essex, and he was delivering mail to the council, and that mail includes the plans of the council. Mary has received substantial intel. Henry Radcliffe's dad, the Earl, will come in looking for his son, and he will just immediately join Team Mary. In comes Sir Richard Southwell with supplies, money and hard men. Other young knights start coming in. Kenning Hall is too small for everyone, so it's off to Framlingham, the ancient seat of the Howards and the strongest castle in Suffolk. Off they go, but it's all happening all around her. Towns, one by one, are refusing to call the succession for Queen Jane. And then there's the news that Bury have called it for Mary. Richard Troughton can continue his travels, looking to persuade more and more towns to call it for Mary. Gentlemen are opening their book of statutes and finding out, look, it says right here that Mary will get the silly hat. Norwich had originally said Queen Jane, but on the 30th of July they say, nah, Queen Mary, and send a contingent of hard men to her. Coventry, which is a Protestant stronghold, say Queen Mary. Mayor of Gloucester will send his top 24 hard men to Mary. Some towns send messages saying, look, we're all a bit confused about who's the real deal queen, but be assured, we ain't going to fight you. 8 p.m. and Team Mary arrive at Framlingham. There's a crowd waiting for her, including the tax collector with the newly collected taxes. Here he says, Mary, you're the queen, you better have this. More guys come in from the Earls of Sussex and Bath, but Mary wants Lord Wentworth, firm Jane supporter, on her team. message out to Lord Wentworth saying, watch out for yourself and your family. If you forsake the true Queen's cause, it would be perpetual dishonour on your house. Okay, says Wentworth, sign me up. London is now totally fucking confused. Frenchy ambassador has the gossip that Dudley is going to hand Mary over to Chuck to marry his son. He'll be off to the council to say, hey, we Frenchies will help our good buddies you mob with troops. Yes, thanks, they say, we might need that. Council to the imperial ambassador saying, if you guys send even a tiny tweet to Mary, we're going to give you the boot out of England. Hey, calm down, say the sausage ambassadors. You guys have got the totally wrong end of the pineapple here. Our spies tell us the Frenchies are only offering their support to Dudley to get baby Mary Queen of Scots on the big English chair. So you better watch out, because the Frenchies have got a secret plan and you ain't going to like it. Oh, morale is sinking fast. William Cecil now just wants to run away somewhere. He's over the whole thing. First to really crack will be Lord Russell, who will say, you know, I never liked that document of Teen Ted making Jane the Queen. Before you know it, he's in a gang of four, and William Cecil is glad he didn't run away. He can stay and fight the good fight now. He can plot. The gang of four want to take Windsor Castle and send hard men to join Mary. One by one, the councillors will start to desert Dudley. Just as well, really. He'd sent his cousin to the French court to get those Frenchy soldiers that King Henri had promised. But part of the deal was that he would hand over Calais and Guisnes, our last stuff in France. And bonus, we'll give you hams in Ireland. Oh, fuck, Dudley, what are you thinking? News comes in that Oxfordshire and Buckinghamshire have risen up in support of Mary. Dudley sent six ships with 900 men to Yarmouth to see if they can arrest Mary. Now, these guys aren't sailors, and to make it worse, Dudley took the captains off. He didn't trust them. He just wanted guys loyal to him in their place. Storm, ship scattered. The ship, the Greyhound, will pull into Lowestoft. Dudley's man will go into town to get news. He'll just be arrested. No charges, we're just going to hang on to him until we can sort shit out. Off goes the Greyhound again, under the command of the 2IC, with the crew breaking open the captain's money box to take out the loot. In they go to Orwell Haven. Mary's guys will have a look and say, hey, mariners, could you arrest those guys in charge? Oh, sure, they say. Okay, come and get them before we toss them overboard. But there's no need. The guys in charge say, hey, we're all good to join Team Mary. Rest of the ships will follow suit, and now Mary has a bunch more guys plus cannon. Hooray! In London, the news of the defection of the ships will make our councillors even sadder. Morale is in the absolute dunny and it's been flushed away. Another letter to the justices around England. That bastard Mary is encouraging men by all ways and means to rebel through evil papist advisers. If she gets the silly hat, then it'll be foreigners running the show and we'll be back to the servitude of the Antichrist of Rome. Subversion of the true preachifying, our ancient laws will go as well as the liberties of the realm. Shit, they've got it all in there, so that should do the trick. Duke of Suffolk, Henry Grey, will now prevent anyone left in the tower to leave. Won't stop a few of them from trying. Dudley is in Cambridge and out of ideas. He just doesn't know what to do. Guys are deserting and that's never a good look. 18th of July and he'll be off to Bury, so pretty close to Mary. Letters to the council. Send reinforcements. Letter from the council. We've changed your Facebook status to It's Complicated. Letter from Dudley. Send me troops and ammo now. No reply.
This happened once before, when I came to your door. No reply. They said it wasn't you, but I saw you peep through your window. I saw the light. Saw me as I looked up to see your face. I tried to telephone, they said you were not home. That's a lie, 'cause I know where you've been. I saw
Not a good sign for John Dudley. Sir Richard Rich the fucker had headed off to Essex to raise troops against Mary. Council were right saying, "Hey, Richie, you may hear some bad news, but stay loyal, old mate." Too late, he's off to Team Mary. Sussex will proclaim Mary Queen and will send a letter to the council. Recant your proclamation of Jane or else. It is most necessary that we brave ill. Arundel will be the next to defect. He will look to get Pembroke to go with him. Tricky. Pembroke's son, you might recall, had married Jane's sister. But while that may have happened, Pembroke is one of, let's see, almost everyone in England that thinks Dudley is a dead shit. Arundel and Pembroke, and that's Fitzalan and Herbert, as a reminder, will call a top-secret meeting at Pembroke's house. Fitzalan will kick off. "We all know that Dudley's a dead shit and a thirst to rob blood. A man of very small or no conscience at all. I do not doubt that you all share this opinion. He had me in the slammer for a year trying to work out a way to kill me. But we're not here for revenge. No, no, no. We're here for the safety of the Commonwealth and the liberty of this kingdom. This sceptred isle, this earthly majesty, this other Eden, demi-paradise, and I've wandered back off to John of Gaunt. Just can't help myself sometimes. Okay, let's do it properly. We are here for the safety of the Commonwealth and the liberty of the kingdom, whereto we are bound no less than to ourselves, both by the law of God and nature, as likewise through remorse of conscience, seeing the Lady Mary's right, lawful successor to this crown, by another possessed, and thereby all we like to be deprived of that liberty which we have so long enjoyed under our lawful kings and princes." Yeah, see, John Gaunt was better, but then Shakespeare wrote those words. The final kicker in the speech will be telling the guys that Dudley's end game is that he wants to become king, and it'll be all violence, rape, and injustice. As if we've ever had justice. Seductions, cruelty, and kings of villainy, and we'll all be too weakened to be able to do doodly squat about it. He'll go on a bit more about how great Mary is, then how shit civil war is, and then, like any good appetizer, tell him what he wants. Abandon Dudley and fuck him. Then a finish off at volume with suitable gravitas. "Herein you shall do justice and be accounted both pitiful to men and pious towards God, who will never forsake you in so glorious an enterprise." And before we can all cheer, Herbert will be up to say, "I concur with Fitzalan, and will give anyone who disagrees a good kicking." And you know, my dear listener, William Herbert has got form on giving out a good kicking. Hang on, he's not quite done. "If my Lord of Arundel's persuasions cannot prevail with you, either this sword shall make Mary Queen, or I will lose my life." It's all wahoo for the councillors, and they can't wait to get outside to tell the mob that's hanging around for news. And the Londoners go crazy. Now, this particular mob of Londoners may have been briefed and paid off earlier, but the happiness is catching. It does. It catches on if you're happy. We can all sing YMCA if we want to. Let's see. Caps thrown in the air, rich people tossing coins out the window, dancing in the streets, people running around the place yelling, "Long live Queen Mary!" Some, perhaps people like me, will not participate. Yeah. Last time we actually checked with the hard men, it would be death for calling Mary Queen, or getting your ear nailed up somewhere at least. We might just want to wait and have everything confirmed. Besides, Mary or Jane, Donald or Sleepy Joe, which one of those humans will do something for common types? Answer is none, so who really cares? I see another one of Sleepy Joe's picks was one of the guys that lobbied King Donald for the tax cuts for the rich. Successfully lobbied him, I have to say. So, yeah. Still, in London, it's bonfires, and that's a sure sign that we are all giddy with happiness. Nobles are getting in the women to stitch a great big M for Mary on the livery of their guys. Only one arrest for speaking against Mary. Will the happiness last for our almost Queen Mary? Will it last for Sleepy Joe? Fitzalan and Paget will be the guys on their fastest horses off to tell Mary, "All good, you're in." Back in the tower, Henry Grey, Duke of Suffolk, will tell his men to lay down their weapons. "We're done," he says, "but don't worry, Mary isn't a killer. We'll be okay." Now, Dudley will get a message. Tell you guys to disarm and stay outside London. If not, we'll come and kill you. 20th of July, Mary will be out in the morning to inspect the troops. Slight cock-up for her trying to get on a horsey, so she's going to have to walk. She's expecting Dudley to turn up with an army any tick of the clock. The battle lines are drawn, the standards unfurled, we're ready. Mary will speak nicely to the troops and we'll love her. That's nice. As she wraps up the troop inspection, she'll wander back to find Fitzalan and Paget waiting for her. She's about to get a fawning letter from the council. Our bounden duties most humbly remembered to your most excellent majesty and so on. Who cares? Not Mary. It's straight off to her chaplain and tell him to get a crucifix put up in the chapel and give me a good old-fashioned magic show in Latin and change that fucking piece of bread without yeast into the one, the only, the real baby Jesus. Now, for Mary, this is absolutely a message from God. Immediate bloodless coup. Has to be God, who wants that old-time religion put back into England. Fitzalan is told to hot-foot it to Cambridge, get Dudley in handcuffs and into the tower. Next day, and Fitzalan will arrest a weeping Dudley. Oh, hoo-hoo-hoo. All across England, as we get the news, it's cheers and bonfires and bell-ringing and Latin masses. Mind you, in Ireland, they have to wait till the 27th of July to get the news that it's Queen Anne. And then 20th of August, no, it's not Queen Anne, it's Queen Mary. Yeah, news travels slow. In the tower, Lady, formerly Queen, Jane Grey, will write a letter. I never wanted the silly hat and told my dad just that, but he is way bigger, meaner and nastier than me, so I had to do what I was told. Now let's remember what she told us a few episodes ago about her dear old mum and dad. Whether I speak, keep silent, sit, stand or go, eat, drink, be merry or sad, be sewing, playing, dancing or doing anything else, I must do it, as it were, in such weight, measure and number, or else I am sharply taunted, so cruelly threatened, yea, presented sometimes with pinches, nips and bobs and other ways, so without measure misordered that I think myself in hell. Then it's going to be a letter from her to her dad. Out of obedience to you and my mother, I have grievously sinned and have offered violence to myself. Now do I willingly and obeying the motions of my own soul relinquish the crown and endeavour to solve those faults committed by others, if at least so great faults can be solved, by a willing and ingenuous acknowledgement of them. And the poor lover is a prisoner. Imperial ambassadors, like Mary herself, can't believe what's happened and agree. Yeah, it's the work of God. No, it's not. It's chicken shit counsellors with imaginary testicles. That's what's happened. Frenchy ambassador will give King Henri the bad news. The atmosphere of this country and the nature of its people are so changeable that I am compelled to make my dispatches correspondingly wavering and contradictory. I have witnessed the most sudden change believable in men, and I believe God alone has worked it. Okay, maybe I am wrong. Maybe it was the will of God. Nah, kidding. There's no magical sky fairy. Jane's former supporters will now try to make themselves rather small and invisible. All the men around the country are reviewing previous decisions, and if we look at their records for this exact time, we'll find pages ripped out of the minute books and nice entries saying, oh, we all unanimously decided to support the one true Queen Mary right from the start. Yeah, we did. Mary can head off to London, Ipswich. She'll score £11 of gold from the bailiffs of the town, and some boys will present her with a gold heart inscribed, The Heart of the People. At Newhall, it'll be £500 in half sovereigns sent ahead by the authorities in London. That's always a good idea. Send money ahead. At Wanstead, it will be a surprise to see Baby Betty join her with the ladies. Now Mary is just outside London and just a little bit nervous. She knows that the wind could change direction again and she'd be the one in strife. Now Fitzalan will arrive first, though, with John Dudley, and the mob are unhappy with Dudley. Death to the traitor! And they're tossing rocks at him and so on. That's not nice. And his old mate with no ears, the one Dudley had ordered ears off. Behold the free tongue of an honest citizen as you have disfigured the head of an innocent man by the mutilation of his ears. So you will be dragged to the punishment due to treason and parricide according to your deserts. Oi, Fitzalan, says Dudley. You going to let him get away with that? Be brave, said Fitzalan. I'll protect you from physical injury. Oh, and there's those common smelly sheilers who had been at Ted Seymour's head-off thingy and dipped their hankies in his blood. Now they can wave their blood-stained hankies at Dudley. Things are still tense in London. 29th of July and a guy's off to the pillory for speaking against Mary. And several Scotty preachers will be arrested. Seems they were the followers of Protestant fanatic and Bishop of Rochester, John Knox. These guys are saying, oh, we'll be seeing the Antichrist any tick of the clock now. Now, the Antichrist won't be coming, ladies and gentlemen, just like baby Jesus. Yeah, not coming. Patch is trying to convince Mary to keep going with the same council. Mary's not so sure. Earl of Rutland can go in the slammer. William Herbert is brought in for a chat and will bring 15 men. Naughty, because you're only allowed 10. So he'll have his bottom smacked and popped into the slammer. 3rd of August, 1553, and riding in on a horsey which is dripping with gold doodads is Mary, Queen of England, with 1,000 retainers dressed in velvet coats. Mary wore a gown of purple velvet, French fashion, her kirtle shining with golden pearls, and hanging around her neck, a necklace of gold pearls. Behind the 1,000 retainers will be Baby Betty with 180 ladies. Bringing up the rear were 3,000 supporters from around the country. Here's the Lord Mayor to pay homage and place the sceptre in Mary's hands. And there's trumpets and cannon blasting. And believe it or not, lots of people have actually held on to their Virgin Mary of the magical Hymen statues, so there are a lot of Virgin Marys looking out the windows. And oh, there's Saint This and Saint That. Every crossroad has a banner, Vox Populi, Vox Dei. The voice of the people is the voice of God. Yes, it's the people who got the gig for Mary, so let's hope she remembers it. Okay, let's get Mary to the tower for more gun salutes. Then there's a line of prisoners to beg for mercy from the new queen. Oh, who have we got here, my dear listener? Well, look, it's Tom Howard, who hadn't been released after his son Henry Howard had his head off. He spent the entire reign of Kitty King Ted in the slammer. And there's Stephen Gardiner, Boo Hiss, and Ted Seymour's Mrs. the Duchess of Somerset. Mary will give each one a big old kiss. And records don't say if it was full tongue-on-tongue action, but a kiss. And it's, oh, you guys, you are so free. Off you go. 5 days later, that's the 8th of August 1553, and a month after his death, dead teen Ted will be popped into Westminster. It's the usual big old procession with the mob all wailing and lamenting and tons of cash splashed on the thing. We've had a dust-up about the service, but Queen Mary ended up allowing Cranmer to do the Protestant thingy at Westminster, while Mary stayed in the tower to hear not one, not two, but three requiems. Fuck, I'd bore to death just saying three requiem masses, let alone sitting through the bloody things. It'd be deadly dull. The remnants of Teen Ted's court will go to Westminster Abbey, where the Imperial Ambassador will note that it was a pretty brief ceremony. But that's exactly the point, and that's what Teen Ted would have wanted, a nice brief Protestant ceremony. Protestant stuff is brief, allowing you to attend the magic show and then have plenty of time to get to the boozer for a nice Sunday session. That's why it's popular. There was a spoiler for the funeral. Mary had just appointed top papist George Day as Bishop of Chichester. A clear message that we're looking to the past for our magical stuff. Now, if you're in Westminster, you're going to have to look hard for Teen King Ted. He's beneath the altar of Granddad Henry VII. So while you're busy looking at Baby Betty's magnificent tomb, you might even be standing on Ted, so look downwards for a plaque. Now, what about our naughty nobles who had signed the oath to support Jane? Well, there's too many of the buggers to get in and kill them. We'd have hardly anybody left, so, yeah, there's going to be pardons. And the women's will be the brokers of this, seeking mercy for their men. Lady Dudley may not do well, but at this stage she's kind of saved her boys. They're in the slammer still. 18th of August 1553, and it's a trial for John Dudley, Duke of Northumberland, along with his eldest lad, oddly enough named John Dudley, Earl of Warwick. And joining them is the Marquess of Northampton and, oh, that's William Parr, brother of Catherine Parr. Presiding over the court as Lord High Steward is Tom Howard. Yes, baby, he's back. Should go well then.
he'd be a grumpy old man in any case, and he's spent about 4 years in the slammer, so he might be a totally pissed off old man. Dudley will go first. He says, first, I'm totally loyal to Queen Mary. Second, sure I dart, but third, give me your opinion. I was carrying out the orders of the Prince and the Council by warrant of the Great Seal of England, and I didn't stray outside that brief. Four, if I'm guilty, then we're all guilty. Well, not you, Tom Howard. You were in the slammer at the time. Lords will say, yeah, sure, but you usurped the use of the Great Seal, and as for being guilty, well, no attainder's been passing it's us, Mr. Smarty Pants. Dudley will then declare his repentance, according to the records, using few words. I think he knows the score here. He asks Tom Howard to beg the Queen for a merciful head-off and not that other nasty shit. He'll ask that his kiddies be looked after. He'll ask for a priest so he can make his confession. And lastly, he'll have a quiet word with four of the Queen's Council because he needed to hand over some state secrets. Thus I beseech you all to pray for me. And more than one of the Lords will now go, oh, boo-hoo-hoo, poor old Dudley. Up next will be William Parr, and he's feisty. He's not going quietly. I know what it looks like, he says, but I just decided to get the fuck out of town and go hunting while all this witch queen will it be stuff was going on. Fuck you, say the Lords, it's death. And then death for John's son, John. Next day it'll be Sir Tom Palmer, Sir John Gates and Dudley's brother, Sir Andrew Dudley in the court. Now Andrew Dudley was the one who was going to marry Margaret Clifford, granddaughter of Mary Tudor and cousin to Jane Grey. It'll be guilty, guilty and guilty. Palmer had been defiant, saying the Lords were worse traitors than him, and the other two will go quietly. Sunday will roll around, and it will be a sermon with our priests well guarded. We've seen stuff like daggers being thrown at churchy types. His message is that it's going to be the old magic show, and look, he says, Teen Ted changed the thing every 5 minutes, so which one of his goes was the right one? All the rest must have been wrong. So let's get back onto the true, the proper, the Latin magic show. Okay, now we have to put the altars back in the churches. Following day, Monday, and it's a nice day with a good-sized crowd gathering here at Tower Hill bright and early for today's entertainment. Scaffold is looking good with plenty of straw underneath and sand to soak up the blood. And here's the tower guard making a nice corridor through the common types, and is it? Yes, here he comes. There's a groan of disappointment for the crowd. It's just a messenger. And let's hear what he's got to say. Yeah, you mob should go home. There's a bit of a reprieve because John Dudley wants to have an old-fashioned magic show before he goes, so nick off. Oh, and that's very disappointing, ladies and gentlemen, particularly for the kiddies who are so looking forward to today's show. Let's hope they get the mass underway so it can be done and we can get back to what we're all looking forward to. Meanwhile, we're getting word that our prisoners are heading to St. Peter ad Vincula for the magic show, and there's Lady, formerly Queen Jane Grey, looking down from her window at the men who are the cause of her incarceration and may end up with her being a head shorter. We'll have to wait and see on that one, fingers crossed. So at St. Peter ad Vincula, we'll have a speech made by John Dudley. I let you all to understand that I do most faithfully believe that this is the very right and true way, out of which true religion you and I have been seduced these 16 years past by false and erroneous preaching of the new preachers, of which is the only cause of great plagues and vengeance which hath light upon the whole realm of England, and now likewise worthily fallen upon me and others here to present our unfaithfulness. And I do believe that the Holy Sacrament here most assuredly to be our Saviour and Redeemer, Jesus Christ. And I pray you all to testify and pray for me. Oh, fuck me, Dudley's gone full metal Catholic. Will it be enough, ladies and gentlemen, to keep that axe away? That night he'll write to Fitzalan. Alas, my good lord, is my crime so heinous as no redemption but my blood can wash away the spots thereof? An old proverb there is, and that most true, that a living dog is better than a dead lion. Oh, that it would please her good grace to give me life, yea, the life of a dog, that I might but live and kiss her feet. Once your fellow and loving companion, but now worthy of no name but wretchedness and misery, J.D. Well, there you go, nice little begging letter there. But I can tell you, none of this will be enough. Next day, back to Tower Hill with more of the same sort of speech. False preachers, Catholic is the right religion, and so on. It's so good, we're going to have it published and exported to Protestants in Europe so that they can see for themselves they need to come back to dear Papa Pope. No last minute reprieve, and just like his dad, John Dudley's head will be off. Sir John Gates will go for him, and it'll be three whacks to get his head off. In bounces Tom Palmer and his hall. Hey, mob, great news for me. I'll be chatting to baby Jesus in a couple of minutes. See ya. The world is altogether vanity, for in it nothing but ambition, flattery, foolish or vainglory, pride, discord, slander, boasting, hatred and malice. Yeah, funny what noble types can work out right at the end, isn't it? One whack, dead. The three bodies will be loaded on a cart and be off to join that long list of Tudor victims at St. Peter ad Vincula, with heads, of course, on spikes around the place. Dudley's son, John Dudley, Dudley's brother, Andrew Dudley, and William Parr will remain in the Tower at Her Majesty's pleasure, and I can tell you they will all be eventually pardoned. Lady Jane Grey's rule as Queen of England had lasted 9 days, and she was Queen of England. She got the holy oil, she got the silly hat, she got the bum on the big chair, and that makes it official. What we've seen here is that Teen Ted had cut out his two daughters and then made the succession through his dead auntie Mary. But of course he had that older auntie, Auntie Margaret, who had the legitimate Kitty Jim Five, and he in turn had the legitimate Kitty Mary, Queen of Scots. The English have ditched Teen Ted's bloody legislation and gone back to Henry's will, but it's all very dodgy and messy. In my mind, baby Mary, Queen of Scots, has a case that should at least be considered. Mary of Guise won't be pushing for anything, but the Frenchies are having a good hard think about it, and of course, baby Mary, Queen of Scots herself, may just come to think that it's her bum that should be on the big English chair. Now, the Frenchies, being Catholics, all think that Mary is a bastard following the divorce of Henry and Catherine of Aragon. So for them, she is not the legitimate ruler, although they may not say that to her face. Now, the other one we've got hanging around, of course, is Margaret Douglas, daughter of Margaret Tudor. And she's good friends with Queen Mary, so she'll be happy to come to court and be the new Queen's favourite. Queen Mary will also write to Mary of Guise saying, hey, two girlies running the show, so let's have a peace, love and lentils between England and Scotland. Fair enough, we've had two Catholics in countries that are trying to go Protestant, so a bit of mutual support may be handy. On the downside, with Margaret Tudor being the Queen's favourite, her man, the Earl of Lennox, might make a power play to be regent of Scotland. Once that dickhead Earl of Arran gets tossed out of his house, surely they've got to toss him out. He's just a total dick. So we might as well have a quick check-in on Scotland, and yeah, Arran has pissed off. The Scotties actually paid him a pile of cash to piss off. They were sick of him. 12th of April 1554, and Mary of Guise will enter the Scottish Parliament dressed in ermine-lined robes of state to get the silly hat and sceptre and the sword of state. Mary of Guise, after 11 years of perseverance, is regent of Scotland. But I'm actually getting a bit ahead of myself and running out of steam. We've had a change or two of regime and some heads off, so that's a decent day's work of a podcast, I reckon. Justin Johnson with Lonesome Swamp Blues. To get us into some historical fiction. And this week I had a go at the King's Comma, David Field. Interesting choice for David. It's about Cardinal Tom Wolsey. And I do regret we didn't have more of Wolsey in the show. But the thing is, I guess, he's not a very sympathetic character. It's hard to develop any sort of empathy for Wolsey, because at the end of the day, he was in it for Wolsey. That's it. And you know, I'm trying to think about all the good things he did, and I've come up with fucking nothing. Nothing at all. But anyway, it's still a good read. He's going to follow the history. I think David Field thinks like me. Why bugger around with history? That story's good enough. So if you'd like to know a bit more about Tommy Wolsey, David Field, the King's Commoner. But for us, it's just a matter of what we go out with. And it's been a funny old week for Scotty from marketing. Some low-level Chinese guy put up an artwork on Twitter, which was, I forget what Scotty said, it was totally disrespectful or whatever to our brave Aussie soldiers who are in a bit of trouble for war crimes in Afghanistan. And he demanded that the Chinese government take it down. So, like, Scotty should know about fucking trolling. Having said that, the next day the Chinese put up some more stuff. Cartoons this time. And then the next day, Mike Pompeo had to chip in, didn't he? By imposing more sanctions on China because they repress people's freedom of expression, which is exactly what Scotty from marketing had asked them to do the day before. So, poor old Chinese, I'm saying, do you want fucking expression repressed or do you want it up? You tell me. So it's been a bad week for Scotty and the Chinese. On that basis, let's go out with a bit of Chinese rap. So we're going out with Official MV, and the track is Dis Lilum. Hope to see you next week. Bye.
What's up, Nalu?
I'm your nightmare.
It's your fault. You trigger my toby power. It's your fault. You told all my love to find woe. It's your fault. You hope we will your soul so well. It's your fault.
You mean you will need to pull how go. It's my fault, man. Get out the way, you mean to go my temper. It's my fault. So I'll jump to the knee. My fault, the beat of my brain, you see me need to shut the damn car. It's my fault.
get you, 街头画面 NW 真好听西向西北的 boy 跟兄弟们呐喊西部噪音你通告真多却还在唱着我的歌伤脑筋背了一路的针头走得像活死人掉井深山老林我苦练多年不断水滴石穿造就儿子挖我结果你扔下一座五指山就想把我拿下如果没我的魔力你最多活得像个麻瓜你没